From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, you're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. University of Idaho professor Alexandra Teague is out with her latest work, and this time it's a very personal look at what some would say was a quirky childhood. The memoir, Spinning Teacups, takes us across America from Florida to Idaho and many stops in between. And we're lucky enough to have Alexandra join us today to talk more. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
So as I mentioned, you have written works of poetry and one novel. They've been published. So what compelled you to write something as personal as this?
That's a fantastic question. I thought I was being quite personal in my poetry, actually. And then after my nephew killed himself shortly before his 26th birthday, and I started writing some poems about that, I realized that there was a lot more there in my family in terms of the ways that we were very creative, inventive, sort of escapist people. But a lot of times the creativity and invention was actually masking a lot of dysfunction and untalked about and undiagnosed mental health issues in the family. So when I wanted to delve into that more, it was hard to do it in the form of poetry. And I realized that I really needed to sit with those subjects in the longer form of nonfiction. So I was really not planning on writing this book until I started trying to get into those themes.
And then where did the name for the memoir come from?
That was actually Marty Brown, one of the fantastic editors at Oregon State University Press, came up with the title because we were going back and forth about a number. The book had had a different title the whole time that I had been working on it. And we were going back and forth about options and really came back to this idea of teacups. The very first essay is, of course, titled Teacups. And it's about my mother's self-proclaimed psychic abilities and how she could sort of read the tea leaves of things that no one else could see. And so that idea of teacups was already very present. But when Marty suggested Spinning Teacups, I really liked it because I think it gets at the idea of, and readers have told me that it gets at this, the idea of like teacups or plates spinning on the end of a stick, sort of like a magic, try to keep them up in the air trick. So there's that precariousness to it. There's also, of course, the spinning teacups right at Disney World. Disney features prominently in the book as well. So multiple layers there, I'm hoping.
So you mentioned in that first essay, you write about your mom's so-called psychic abilities. Talk a little bit about not just the essay, but how that impacted you growing up.
Absolutely. I was raised as an only child. I have two much older sisters. So being the only, and they were grown and gone from home by the time I was born. And so being the only child in the house, I didn't even realize how strange some of this was, of course, until many years later. But as a child, my mother would tell me these stories about knowing things that she just psychically knew. And so I felt always as though she would know what I did or had done. And often when I told her something, she would say, oh, I suspected as much, or she would make these announcements of things often after they had happened. So it was hard to know whether or not she really knew them in advance, but she would say she did. So it gave her this great amount of power over me as a child. And really, I realized in the process of writing that essay over everyone in the family, as an adult talking to my sisters more, I learned, and my father, I learned stories from all of them about ways that my mother had caused them to question their own sense of reality because of these things that she could see that, or claimed she could see that the rest of us couldn't.
You know, you mentioned the suicide of your nephew, and you delve into really, trauma and grief in your book. And I'm curious about how that was to put that down on paper and to really delve into the mental health that you see within your family lineage, which is something that I think so many families deal with.
It absolutely is. And it was honestly because I was writing some poems about my nephew's death that I read out at various readings and literary festivals, and the feedback I was getting from people about how important it was for me and other people to be writing about these kinds of subjects and talking about suicide and grief and mental health more openly. That was really a lot of what inspired me to keep going with this project, even when it became very difficult. And I don't think I could have written this book at an earlier point in my life. I'm in my late 40s now. And when I was younger, I think I was too scared of these subjects and kind of what was there that I didn't fully understand in the family. And so I think it has taken a lot of years and therapy and time to be able to sit with these subjects enough to reflect back on them. But it also felt very empowering. I don't feel like I came to a lot of answers, but I feel like I came to some clearer questions about what was going on in my family. And, you know, I hope some themes that will, like you said, relate to other people's experience, because unfortunately, you know, virtually everybody I know has some version of these questions and issues happening with people that they love as well.
Well, it feels like in the book, you're really trying to not just understand, but almost explain your family dynamics to yourself, if that makes sense. But I think you do it in a way where it's you. There is a deep love that comes across in your essays for your family. I mean, quirks and all.
Thank you so much for saying that. I really hope that that comes through, and it took many rounds of drafting to get to the point where I hope these essays speak to, you know, these are very much my own idiosyncratic experiences. I, you know, quote some family members, and I definitely talk to people along the way, but this is my version of it. But, you know, I hope that these essays are true to some of my family's experience and some of the darker parts of it, but also do really include the love and the humor, which was really essential. I mean, I talk about in some of the essays, my mother had a very wonderful, dark sense of humor that a lot of us in the family got from her. And so the idea of humor as a coping mechanism, but also as a way to, you know, continue to see, you know, the beauty and the fun in life, even when it sometimes holds a lot of grief as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want to, you mentioned Disney, and I want to talk about this a little bit. So you spent, what, the summer you were 13 living in Orlando. So,
yeah.
I mean, right, I lived in Tampa for a couple of years, so it's almost inevitable that you're going to Disney, whether you like it or not.
Oh, absolutely.
But talk about how, I mean, this was really kind of a fabric of your family.
It was. And I've had a few friends who have read the book who said, I thought I knew you pretty well. And I'm amazed to hear this because I am not a person who's, you know, going around in Disney gear now or anything like that. And as I said in one of the essays, I haven't been to any of the parks since before my mother died, which was a couple of decades ago now. But Disney World is very strange for my family because my family was very much about making everything from scratch. And we were not into consumer society in general. But as I also say in the essays, Disney is just the mecca of the imagination and celebrates imagination in all these ways, and also celebrates this sort of anachronistic vision of the future in Tomorrowland, which I think really fit my family, which was always kind of out of step in terms of time for various ways because of the way the generations had worked and because of grief and everything. So Disney was an unlikely place, but my father was a journalist. And when I was young, the first time I ever got on a plane was to fly from Fort Worth, Texas to Disney World for a story that he was doing about Disney World. So from that time on, it did become a place that we went back to recurringly. And I think also the connection, my family was very into books. And of course, a number of the rides are based off of older stories. And so there was something about seeing those stories come to life and being able to go into that space and inhabit them, which I know is, you know, something that a lot of people really love about Disney. But it did play a strange role because it was a place that my family kept going back while I was in my teens and early 20s in college and grad school. And at that point, I think it was playing a pretty unhealthy role of escaping from some really dark and, you know, abusive things that were going on.
Yeah. I only have about a minute left with you. What for you was the biggest takeaway from writing this book?
Oh, I think that the biggest takeaway has actually come in conversations with people since who have said, my family was absolutely nothing like yours. And yet I exactly see my family here as well. Just finding those commonalities. And that's one of the biggest reasons that I write is because I want to communicate and connect on a deeper level with other people. I think that, and also coming to the realization that I was never going to find answers to much of this, and that that wasn't even really what was meaningful, that it was finding better questions about the family and sitting with that contradictory complexity of the love and the darkness at the same time.
Mm. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today. Really appreciate the conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really honored to be on the show.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Did you know you are physically adapting to all your swiping, scrolling, and tapping?
We're changing our bodies and what they're able to do through our habits.
NPR's Body Electric, a special interactive series investigating how to fix the relationship between our tech and our health. Listen in the TED Radio Hour feed wherever you get your podcasts.